I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God. Every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly by my side. Green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this? Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Playing cards, laughing hard, barbecue and waking up the whole block. Music loud, turning loud. Little kids are breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
Today is truly, I'm blessed. You blessed. I'm blessed. Why? Because we got up this morning. Lord has kept us all day. He kept us in our right mind. Amen. He kept us to stand focused. He kept us to give him glory on today. On today, we can say, Lord, we truly can say we blessed because we woke up in our whole understanding. Some of us got up this morning that we didn't have no pain in our body. We didn't have no soul in our body. Our mind is in right place. We didn't wake up, but Alzheimer's, we woke up to think about what we did last night. We was able to get up and talk about to our friends today on our job. We was able to see people that we love. We was able to shake hands with some of our friends. So, yes, you are blessed. He spoke to you. He told you you are blessed. He woke you up this morning. You got to feel it. You got to feel it that you're blessed. You got to know that you're blessed. You don't have to wait for nobody to come tell you you're blessed. You should know you're blessed. Anytime you step out of your bed and put your feet on the floor and get up and dress yourself without no nurse, without nobody trying to gotta give you medication, nobody have to pull you out of the bed, nobody have to give you a walker, you're blessed. Yes, you're blessed on today, July the 17th, 2018. You are blessed. Somebody didn't get up this morning. If you had a chance, if you have a chance, go buy a newspaper and actually really read the obituary. And if your name not in the obituary, then you blessed. But look in the obituary if somebody was your same age. Somebody was born the same year you was born in. Somebody almost had the same name you had. Somebody was born the same time and the same hour you were, but yet you still here. So that means you blessed. Yes, you blessed. You blessed in highly favored in the Lord. Amen. So I just want to welcome you guys to another show. This is that Tuesday. This is what we get it in. You know, man up. We are doing another. Get another opportunity to do man up on the movement, on the move. So with that, I just want to say, man, look, you're blessed and highly favored. I just want to throw these flowers on you. I just want to encourage you. I just want you to lift up your own spirit. I can't lift up your spirit. Oh, my God. I can't get you to that point. You have to get yourself to that point. You got to have faith. I'm just here to encourage you. I'm just here to speak into your life. Why? Because he gave me an opportunity. He gave me an opportunity again today. Yes, yes. So I want to get into prayer, and once again, I want to thank you, your viewers, for joining in. I thank you guys for taking the time out to become a part of this show. Y'all know we get it in. Y'all know we don't be joking. I don't hold nothing back. I give it to you at 100. I ain't trying to manipulate nobody. I'm trying to keep it real. Why? Because of the last days. We got to keep it real. We got to keep it real. Why? Because we offended a lot of people. We offended a lot of brothers. We offended a lot of sisters. We offended a lot of kids. We offended a lot of our coworkers. We offended a lot of we offended people on a daily basis. But it's time to get it right. It is time to get it right. And God was dealing with me with some stuff, and I'm asking God why the churches as the body of Christ. Why the churches really don't have the impact like we used to have the impact. You know, because as we get into the gospel, you know that God would talk about the disciples, and he was talking about Mark, Luke, John, you know, Matthews, Joseph. You know, he was talking about the apostles, you know, Mark, Luke, John, Matthews, Peter, Timothy. You know, when you read the four gospels, you know what I'm talking about. You know, he talked about, Judas and all, you know, the original disciples, Judas and all them, you know, Judas betrayed him. And we don't know if Judas went to hell or he went to heaven. The Bible really doesn't say that, you know, but we know that Judas betrayed him because Judas had to get him to his destiny. If Judas wouldn't have never betrayed him, then Jesus would have never got hung on the cross. A lot of people get mad at that. You know, a lot of people be saying this and saying that, but that was a foretaste for it to happen. It was written in the book for that to happen. It was written that for Jesus to get lied on. It was written in the Bible that Judas had to betray him. Because if Judas would have never betrayed him, we know that our Lord and Savior would probably have never been on that cross. Yeah, it'd have been somebody else. But a lot of people, you know, they hate us on Judas and say, why Judas did this and why? Because it was a tale for it to happen. It had to happen like that. And if it didn't happen like that, I don't think we have our Lord and Savior today. So some things that we try to figure out, it had to go that way so the gospel could come true. It had to go that way so God can go to the cross, that God can go to grace, that God can go and redeem back mankind. It had to happen like that. Amen. So I don't think, I don't say in my own mind that he betrayed him. He did what God wanted him to do. Because, you know, can't no man betray our Lord and Savior. Can't no man betray our Lord and Savior. But he had to do it because he was in the flesh. He had to do it in the flesh. Amen. And so I just want to talk with us, you know, because this is what the Holy Ghost is leading me to. You know, and it's been doing this all along because, you know, I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm trying to understand something here. You know, we say that the Bible says after the Holy Ghost come that you should receive power, law, and a sound mind. It don't say that you will receive money. It don't say you will receive accolade. It don't say that you receive inheritance. You know, we know the inheritance is the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that you're going to be better than the next person. It doesn't say that they're going to worship you. It doesn't say that you're going to be a Lord and Savior. No, he said after the Holy Ghost comes that you should receive power, love, and a sound mind. You receive power over the enemy, not over your own brothers and sisters. You receive power over the enemy, how to come against the enemy. Amen. And I was dealing with something, and I'm going to try to give it to you the best way I can give it to you, okay? So I'm coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read chapter 10. And now I want you to go back and read chapter 1 all the way through. Read the whole chapter because there's some stuff in there that is going to get us back to our place. There's some stuff in there that's going to get us back on point. Amen? And so I want to talk to you, and I want to share this with us because the church has went mad. I'm talking about the apostles. I'm talking about the bishops. I'm talking about the prophets. I'm talking about the deacons. I'm talking about the evangelists. I'm talking about everybody that has an office in the house of God, everybody that has an office in the body of Christ. That's what I'm talking to. Why? Because we have bamboozled a lot of our brothers and sisters. We have manipulated our brothers and sisters to a point to where they don't even want to come to church no more. They don't even want to come to church no more because it's the same shenanigans. It's the same old thing. It's the same scheme. We supposed to be the church, not the world. We don't supposed to be trying to hustle one another. We don't supposed to be trying to, you know, because the Bible talks about, you know, that they will prostitute your gift. We know that your gift will make room for you, that they would open up a door. But see, some people think that they take that as a monetary gift, like I will buy you a gift. No, it will make room for you to work in the kingdom of God, to come against strongholds. Not you, because a lot of people say, well, if I go do this, I go do that. A lot of people think that's what that scripture means. But it doesn't, I mean, to me it doesn't mean that. Maybe to you it may mean that, you know, because he said your gift will make room for you about, you know, high man's and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I think that's spiritual authority, because if you gifted and they not gifted, you able to discern. You're able to be able to work in a prophetic. You're able to work in a prophet. You're able to work in the office. So that's the gift that God, because you already have a gift in the Holy Ghost. We're not talking about monetary gift. We're talking about gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so this is what God has given to me, man. And I want to see if I can give it to you the best way I can, you know. And let's go. It said now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And this is something that's going on in the church. The church is us, the body of Christ, the group of us. Us come together to break bread. Us come together to fellowship. We come together to, we don't, we, it says don't separate yourself. Or how can I say, I want to say it. He said don't forsake the assembly of the brethren. That's what Paul was talking about. Don't forsake the assembly of the brothers. We're supposed to come together and break bread. We're supposed to come together and encourage one another. We're supposed to come together and able to lift one another up, amen, with the word of God. And so I'm dealing with this here I'm dealing with this, and I think this is what God has gave me, you know, to share with the body of Christ. Amen. Because, see, sometimes we get spiritual, but we don't get biblical. We get so spiritual. We get so spiritual. He said be both ways. He said be spiritual and natural. You got to be, you can't be too spiritual all day. You can't be walking around all day. Come on, man. He said be spiritual and natural. Why? Because it's important in that. Why you got to be spiritual and natural? You can't be all these people who think you crazy, man. You can be spiritual and spiritual in the body, not out of the outer appearance. You know, yeah, you can talk to the Lord all day in your mind. You know, you can walk around all day talking to the Lord in your mind. You can walk around and say this and say this and say that and say this and say that. You can talk that in your mind. Don't nobody know what you're saying in your mind. You're not being so spiritual, but you still can have a conversation at the same time. Amen. And so this is why I hear what the Lord is saying to the body of Christ. And I truly believe this is what he's saying. And this is something that Paul was saying. He has got a report. Paul has got a report. So let's go to Corinthians, the first chapter, chapter 10. He says, "Now I bless you, brother, by the name of the Lord, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there has been no division among you, but that you be perfect and joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." Now I'm trying to figure this out, right? Because see, this is Paul is getting a report. You know, I'm a speaker. And you can, you know, take your time out and read it, you know. But Paul is speaking to a group of brothers, or Paul is speaking to a group that is followers after Christ. And here we are. We get so spiritual, because this is what he's saying. We get so spiritual to where we want to say we are this denomination. We are this our bishop. This is our apostle. This is our leader. This is our. You got to keep reading it, because you know it's a meeting here. You know, 11 is a meeting here. 12 is a meeting here. 13 is a meeting here. 14 is a meeting here. 15 is a meeting here. 16 is it. You know, and they get to talk about baptism, and I'm glad I didn't. You know, this and that. And this is a tension that's going on in the body of Christ. We have to be reminded. We got to be able. Because, you know, it's man on the movement. We talking about man on the movement. We talking about being better. We talking about how to present the gospel with love. Christ says that if you are his follower, they would know you. Why? Because of the fruit that you bear. They know you that the love you have. He said if you're in Christ, you have love. That's what God gave you. That's what the fruits of the Spirit. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit he gave you. He gave you love. So if somebody know that you follow in Christ, they know that the love you have. You don't argue with them. You don't put them on a back burner. You don't scheme on them. You don't try to out. Because Paul was trying to get us to understand that we don't suppose to be trying to scheme on our brothers and sisters, trying to get them what they had. You know, we don't suppose to be doing that. We're supposed to be Christian. We're supposed to be saints. We're supposed to be serving of the high most. We're supposed to be saints. That's what I like about the Bible. He called us saints. He don't call us Christians. He called us saints. He called us sons and daughters. You know, but you know, we take that label and we label ourselves. Oh, I'm a Christian. There's too many Christians in the world. God said that you'll know him. He said, My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice, and the stranger than our father. So if we all Christians, we're not all following the same doctrine. That's why so much division in the church. That's why so much crazy stuff in the church. You know, and I want to deal with this because Paul talks to the brothers about having one wife. You know, we're supposed to have one wife. We don't supposed to have multiple wives. We don't supposed to be, we not like the world. You know, we don't supposed to be on a pulpit living one way but acting the other way. No, we don't supposed to be living like that. We're supposed to be living according to the word of God, according to the code, to be letting the light shine. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Not, we don't supposed to be a bitter taste. We don't supposed to be like vinegar. We're supposed to be like salt on the earth. And yet, we preach the gospel, but we make ourselves bigger than anybody else. We make ourselves to be better in Christ. We make ourselves more important in the word. And that's what Paul, and if you're reading that, that's what Paul was trying to say. That's what Paul was trying to get the brothers to understand. No, it was Christ that died for us, not your apostle. Tell me, when did your apostle die for you? When did the bishop die for you? When did the prophet die for you? When? Didn't nobody die for you? You didn't even know about salvation until God called you out of darkness. You didn't even know about the Holy Ghost until God called you out of darkness. You didn't even know that you was a spirit being until God called you out of darkness. God laid His life down for you. God laid His life down for you. God grabbed you at the right point. He grabbed you at the right point of your life. He grabbed you at the right point of your life, because if He wouldn't have grabbed you at the right point of your life, you'd have been dead. You'd have been dead sleeping in your sin. You'd have been dead sleeping in your vomit. You'd have been dead sleeping in all of the disease and matters that you have on. But yet God found it fit. God found it fit to bring you out of this horrible pit. He spoke the word. He spoke the word through 32 generations. That on a certain day He's gonna reach out and grab you. God spoke. The word was already written in the world and heavens that we'll be talking tonight. Yes, you will be talking tonight. We will be talking tonight about this topic. We'll be on this topic. We'll be on this show. We'll be talking about the scripture. God knew that at a certain time that I'll be talking about the scripture. God know that I would be on here on talking to the brothers and sisters around the world about this scripture. God knew that. And so I want to sit here and talk to you, because we're talking to a Talk Low Radio. You know, Pastor E, who actually birthed this ministry. God know what he was doing when he had him to come from day one to do this. God had him in mind. So that's why we got man up on the movement. And our topic tonight, we on the move. How could we say that we have the Holy Ghost, but yet we still treating our brothers and sisters wrong? How could we say that we are preachers and bishops, and yet it doesn't apply to you? The Bible don't apply to you, but that it's supposed to apply to us, but the word don't apply to you. How could you say that you got the Holy Ghost, but yet you still run around drinking and stinking? You still run around and fornicate. You still run around and lie. You know, it's in the Bible. The Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about being a hypocrite. The Bible talks about how we should not supposed to be lovers of ourselves, boasters, blasphemers, whoremongers, homosexuals. You know, but don't nobody want to talk about that, because when we talk about that, oh, we coming against everybody. Why is it we got to be coming against everybody? Why we don't preach the word of God? That's why our churches is no longer a fact. That's why marriage is no longer strong in the church. Why? Because the pastor cheating on everybody. The pastor cheating on first lady. So if he cheating on first lady, what man gonna honor you? What man is gonna respect you? You know, it says spirits. He says, spirits cry terror to one another. You know, darkness love darkness. You know, darkness love darkness. So if you cheating on your wife and you got some cheaters in the church, they're gonna agree to everything you're doing. Why? Because they can't condone you. They doing the same thing. They can't say nothing about you. First of all, if they say anything about you, you know, you'd be like, well, are you doing it? See, that's what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about we need to come together. You know, before you can go to the altar, you need to go back and apologize. How you going to take a gift to the altar and you got all this envy in you? You got all this strife in you. You got all this, you disrespectful. You got all this ungodly in you. That's not right. You know, Paul was giving us what the Holy Ghost was giving them to the brothers at that time they was in the church. And so we got to come and reason together. We got to come together and put things in order, because God is soon to come back. And a lot of us we messed up, man. A lot of us, we messed up. And if we wish to die today, a lot of blood would be on our hands. Why? Because we've manipulated a lot of people. We were some crooks. Yeah, I even did myself, and I'm asking God to forgive me because I'm trying to move in a certain ever. God showing me certain things, and He's saying, well, if you don't preach faith, then God should be able to put your marriage back together. If you don't walk in faith, then God should be able to put your house back in order. Don't preach something that you don't believe. If you say that God is the healer and you still walk around sick, then that don't sound right. That don't sound right. How you gonna tell me come out of the closet, but yet you still in the closet? How you gonna tell me walk by faith, not by sight, but you walking by sight? That don't work together. He said, how can we agree together? Unless two agree, then you can walk together. But if we don't agree, we can't walk together. I cannot walk with undarkness. I will expose you. I know who I am in Christ. I'm going to come to the side, look, bro, that is not cool. And then you're going to get mad at me, but I'm just bringing to the word. Because he says that it should not be any envy, strife, or anything like that in us. But yet, we got that in us. That's why the church is not effective. We got jealousy in us. We see when our brothers got a super blessed. He got that financially blessed. Well, he got spiritually blessed. What do? We run him out the church. Oh, they don't deserve this. I've been in church longer than them. I've been here longer than this. And when they get blessed, we run them away from the church. That's why the members can't grow. Why? Because you're not willing to submit yourself. You're not willing to go. You're not willing to go and be quiet. But yet you still want to. You want to come against that brother and sister. You want to talk bad about him. No, that ain't right, man. He said you're supposed to be rejoiced with him. You know, and his blood is required on our hands. So we got to get it right, brothers and sisters. We got to get this thing right, man, because God wants us to be able to walk in unity. God wants us to be able to walk in righteousness. Why? Because he called us righteous. God said there shouldn't be no filth in you. You shouldn't stink. Sin stinks. You shouldn't stink. You should smell just like the blessings of God. You should speak like God is really in you. How you gonna tell me God is in you, but yet you still sneaking and jabbing? You still doing some things to where you bring a brother to church. You bring a brother to church, and you trying to expose him to God. But soon you leave the church, you smoking up cigarettes. You sitting there telling them, man, you see how that sister look? You see how that sister look? She was looking up. That's not right, man. That's not right. That is not the will of God. The will of, when you leave that church, that brother should see nothing but light. He should see the greatness of God in you. He should see the God that truly manifests in you. He shouldn't see that you still thinking the same way. Man, I'm going to go down to the bar and get me something to drink. What? How you going to go get something to drink and you just got to worry? See, that's why he said we're hearers of the word, but we're not doers of the word. I'm giving it to you the best way. I'm giving it to you how he was giving it to me, you know. And like I said, you can go ahead and read the whole scripture, you know, because Paul has put things in perspective. I like the way Paul does it. Paul put things in perspective. If we're going to say we have the Holy Ghost, then it's time for us to walk like we got the Holy Ghost. It's time for us to, because you can't get the Holy Ghost if you don't have a clean temple. See, that's what people's messed up at. Everybody want to speak in tongues. But yet they temples all defiled. How could you speak? First of all, who taught you how to speak in tongues? Because this said it's a heavy language. He said this is the language that the heavens declare that you speak. But yet you walking around here, you still doing ungodly things, and you talking about you speaking in tongues? Come on, man, that ain't right. That ain't right. That is not right. And we gotta keep it real, man. We got to keep it real. How are you telling me that you out for Christ, but yet you ain't even, you still shack up? You still got nay nay, yay yay, and say say, and shoo shoo, and noodle. You still got them all in your phone. How you going to tell me you got the Holy Ghost, you still doing ungodly things? I don't understand that. The Bible said that they was tearing in the upper room. They was caring for something they didn't even know nothing about. They heard a sound, a mighty voice. They heard a sound from heaven. They heard a sound from heaven, and it filled the room. And when it filled the room, that's when they got to speaking in an unknown language. The Holy Ghost was poured out in the book of Acts. But we don't get into the book of Acts because we want to skip the book of Acts and go right to Romans. You know, we don't want to read John, Luke, Mark. We don't want to go that route. No, we just want to jump to Romans and stop there. You got to get in the book of Acts, because the book of Acts, you got the epistles. These are the epistles wrote to the church, how the saints are supposed to live. These are the epistles of the Bible. These are the rules and the regulations of the Bible. You know, you got Romans, you got 1 Corinthians, you got 2 Corinthians, you got Ephesians, you got Philippians, you got Colossians, you got 1 Timothy, you got 2 Timothy, you got Titus, you got Philip, you got come on, man. You got 1 John, 2 John, 1 Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Jude, Revelation. You know, you got all that stuff that you read, and that's the epistles. Those were the words was wrote to the church. Them was inspired words of the Holy Ghost. That's not man theology. That was word to us, for us to come out of darkness. He said, come out of darkness and come into his marvelous light. You got to come out of darkness. That's why we're not effective. That's why churches is not growing with the brothers. Man, the churches, back in the days, the churches was on the move. But now I know there's a lot of brothers locked up. It's a lot of brothers locked up, and we're not praying for them brothers to get out. Why? Because I really feel that a lot of us scared. If the church start being effective the way it's supposed to be effective with the brothers, man, can you imagine if we all come together and pray and you see brothers crying out for the Lord? That will stop gang violence. That will stop prostitution. That will stop trafficking. That will stop a lot of stuff. If we brothers would come together, get up out of ourselves. No, take off the three-piece suit. Come on, man, take the alligators off. Take the silk shirt. Take them diamonds off. Because it ain't all about that. When you die, I guarantee you, when you die, you ain't going to wear none of that stuff. And when you die, you're going to pass on your anointing. That's witchcraft. That's sorcery. How can I give you my anointing? That's not my anointing to give you. But you got all these doctors, you got all chief apostle and all this. Oh, I'm gonna play a blessing over you. I'm gonna lay hands on you. I'm gonna play a blessing over you. Yeah, we going into come out the Old Testament. Let's get into the Bible. Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of everything. If you will lean unto him, he will bless you. He will give you anointing. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is an anointing. That's the power to speak, power to rebuke, power to heal sick, power to speak wealth. Why? Because you have that in you. And so sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves and we run our brothers out of the church. That's why it's hard for us to go talk to a brother on the street, because we present ourselves in a way that, you know, we arrogant. We present ourselves like we all that in a bad chip. Man, if God would remove his hands all over you, don't you know them devils will bend up? Why? Let God remove his hands off you. You open season, baby. But yet God got grace and mercy. The Bible says God hated proud. He hates proud. He hates arrogant. And when people see that, when you come to them, you all like, you all this and that. People see that, man. And that turns them away. We supposed to be the light of the world. We supposed to have some light in us. To where when they see you, they don't see pride in you. They don't see envy in you. They don't see jealousy in you. They don't see a scheme in you. They don't see you trying to get over on them. They don't see that. And you the apostle of the house, but then nobody respecting your wife. How is that, man? How are you getting all the accolades? Because you became more important than the word. Now you became in a proud spirit. Can't nobody rebuke you because you all let in a bag of chips. And so what the church do? The church has opened up the door to demonic spirits. That's why fornication rapidly in the church. That's why the church becomes so dominant with homosexuals. Why? Because you open up that door. And when the leader opened up that door, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because nothing but destruction is coming in. So we have to be careful as brothers in Christ. We have to be careful. We can't be arrogant. We can't be like we all this in the bag of chips. Yeah, we know you got the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost is respectful. The Holy Ghost it get bold on the devil, but it don't get bold on the saint. The Holy Ghost ain't going to tell you get on the microphone and holler at that brother talking about he a fornicator. No, the Holy Ghost going to let you go to your brother gently. He said go to each other and with love. If you find one of your brothers falling out of in temptation, you're supposed to go there and then lift him up out of that. You don't supposed to condemn him. Look, bro, man, you know God has did a wonderful thing in our life, man. You know, and God is trying to get us back to love. God is trying to get us back to, he is the key cornerstone. He's trying to get us back into that he's the center of our life. And so when God's trying to do that, we got to be mindful, man. We're not trying to be mean, but we know the word said it would cut you. But at the same time he cuts you, he's there to seal you up. The surgeon's in the room. He's going to cut you, baby, but he's going to stick you back up. He may have to put a little staples in you. He may have to put a little glue on you, but he's going to stick you back up. And once that wound get healed up, it ain't there no more. You won't even see the stop no more. You won't see it no more. Why? Because God is a totally healer. How is it that we confess out of our mouth, but yet we haven't even possessed it? I'm just saying that's why the church is not effective. That's why the brothers don't want to come to the church. We have hindered them brothers from coming into church. We got some nasty deacons. We got some nasty ministers. Because God gave you grace, but yet you want to act like you all that. You the prophet. I'm the prophet. I'm the prophet. I'm the prophet. No, you the arrogant one. Straight up demon. And then you don't even, you're too spiritual. You're too spiritual. You walk around like you got the big head and all that. You all that in a bag of chips. Can't nobody tell you nothing. You're too spiritual. We know what to say. Destruction, you're going to fall. And that's what we're not trying to do. We're trying to build the house of God back to his place. We're trying to get our brothers back to the altar. We want our brothers back to the altar. We need to get our brothers back to the altar. The church has lost their love for the church, for the household of faith. Yeah, I know some churches, the brothers are doing this and brothers are doing that. But you know what, man? It makes me sad, man. It makes me sad. Even though that when we get the Holy Ghost or we at some of these denominations, we still arrogant. We still got some arrogant brothers, man. Because you got the Holy Ghost. Because you've been baptized in Jesus' name. Because you confessed of your sin and God has gave you grace and mercy. Doesn't make you more better than me. We forgot that we was in the same predicament. We forgot that we was We were stressed out. We forgot that we didn't, that we was getting high. We forgot that we was drunkards. We forgot. Didn't Paul say that? He said, can no liars, no cheaters. That's a Corinthians, the fifth chapter, 5 and 16. He said, can no liars, no cheaters, no boasters, no blasphemers, no milliners, no extortioners. Oh man, this thing get good, man. This get good. If you jump in chapter 6, first boy, did any of you have a month against one another? And you go to the law. You go to the law on unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints should judge the world? See, we taking all this stuff. We not doing what the Bible says. If you know that brother did some things, some ungodly things to you, don't go blaspheming him. Don't go put him on Facebook. You and him get together and the pastor, and y'all pray on that. And you let that brother know, man, that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool, bro. What you did, that wasn't right, man. That wasn't right, man. And if I tell you, if you got the Holy Ghost, God would do some things and he'd change some things. That's what we at. And it's because, you know, it's the scriptures coming to pass. It said in the last time, perilous times have come. That man would not want sound doctrine. They would turn into lovers of themselves. They would give in to the dual spirits. Everybody want a word. You better watch out for what words you're getting. Remember, life and death lies in the tongue. Everybody want to chase around for a word. Man, don't you know it's a Genesis to Revelation is a word? From the beginning to the end, that's a word in the Bible. And if you ain't getting the word, that means you ain't persuaded. If God ain't talking to you, then you're not persuaded. Because anytime you open up his word, he's talking to you. And if he's trying to get your attention, he'll take you to the scriptures and tell you what he's trying to give you some, he's trying to get your attention. Because he'll bring you to the word. Pride will come before destruction. A warning will come before destruction. God warned Israel. God warned Israel. God warned Solomon and Gomorrah. God warned Noah in Noah's days. It's always a warning come before destruction. And you can't say you did not hear this on June 17, 2018. At my time, it's at 8:45. It's 7:45 somewhere else, and it's 6:45 somewhere else, and it's 5:45 somewhere else, and it's 4:45 somewhere else, and it's 3:45 somewhere else. You can't say you didn't hear this. We need to go back and get it right. Before we want to run to the altar and pray, we need to ask, Lord, search my heart. Reveal to me whose feet did I step on. Reveal to me what I did and you want to please me to. Reveal to me, Lord, because I want to make it in. I don't want him to depart me from nothing. I don't want them to depart me from nothing. You planted all these churches. You're a soul winner. You want all these souls to Christ, but you find out yourself in hell. How is that, man? How could you be a great evangelist, but yet you don't even make it in? How is that? the book of Jude said he's able to present you faultless. He's able to present you faultless. That's a lot of stuff. He's able to present you faultless. You know, in John it says that he's no longer called you a servant. He calls you a friend. That's some powerful stuff, man. He says that he's going to dwell in you. That's you hear this, what our Lord and Savior said to us? He said, I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to live in your temple. No, you don't. We ain't talking about the gold and the cap and all that. No, we talking about you, brother. We talking about you, sister, if you're on the line. He said he's going to dwell in you. He said your body will become the living temple. Your body will become the living word. Your body will become the temple of the Holy Ghost. I mean, is we really reading this stuff? So if your body's going to become the temple of the Holy Ghost, that's how much you're supposed to guard your body. We got to get back, family. We got to get back. We got to get back. Okay, girl. Yeah. We got to get back.
Amen.
Amen. So I hope that what I share with you, I hope that it was love that came out of it. What I share with you, I hope that you will meditate on it. And let's get back to basics, because we want to win. We want to win the loss for the cause. We want to win the loss for Him. We want to bring all them brothers that we chase away from the church, all them brothers that we hurt it, all them brothers that we feel like, that they feel like we disfought them, we did them wrong. We want them to know that we're sorry. We want them to know that deeply in our heart, we didn't mean no harm. And if we did anything that offended you or said anything to you wasn't right, please forgive us. Please forgive us. Don't charge it to the head. Charge it to the game. And let's move on. Let's be bridge builders for the Lord. Let's be build bridges for the Lord. Let's build these bridges that God wants us to build. Because He's saying He's calling us back. He's calling us back to holiness and righteousness. Are we going to come back, or are we just going to be straight away? God forbid. Hallelujah.
Well, amen, so, amen. Listen, can we man up? Can we man up tonight here on the Now Network? Awesome word. What I hear, and that's for sure, and it goes all across the table, is we're some sick and folks, sick and tired of being sick and tired, men and women of God out here in the body of Christ that know the revelation of the Word of God, know the revelation of relationship with God, but is sick and tired of seeing the same thing happen in the church. I'm one of those, because first of all, I had to recognize, Pastor, is that I'm the church and it's not the building. And I had to be the one that's honorable to God as the church and as His servant. But then when we go into ministering to people, we have to understand that, first of all, we ain't condemning nobody, but we're not going to just tell you the word that you can get by on. We're not just going to give you a word that's going to be okay. We're going to give you a word that's going to hurt. The truth hurts, but it sets free. We want to set you free tonight. The Bible says, "At whom the Son sets free is free indeed." You can be free indeed today. If your toe got stomped on, or if you felt like you were being talked to, then guess what? God was speaking to you, because tonight is your night to say enough is enough. I will not lack. I will not be in the realm of not pleasing you, but I will go to another level and give you my best. Is somebody out there willing to give him your best tonight? I need my brothers to know this, that it's up to us to give him our best, because that's why he came for us, that we could receive his best. Man, bless you, man of God. Great word. I want to take an opportunity to open the lines. Oh, man, that's what we do. We bless each other. Yes, sir. I want to give opportunity for anybody, male, female, anybody that would like to chime in to the call tonight and comment and uplift Pastor Dwayne. Dial one right now. We want to enter into the discussion part of Man Up the Movement. Amen. Amen. So how's it going up there in Wisconsin, my brother?
Well, you
Minister
know,
Terry, hold on. We got Minister Terry. Look, we got Minister Terry on the line. We're going to have to talk later. Minister Terry, welcome to Man Up the Movement with Pastor Dwayne.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, pastors, Pastor Dwayne, Pastor E, and all the listeners on this broadcast, because I was listening to Pastor Dwayne, and he said something that really touched my heart when he was saying he's coming to restore the house of God, the church that's within us. And I love what you said too, but everybody want a word. But he told us that word should be in us. We should take his word with us wherever we go. And it just took me to Proverbs 7:3. And Pastor, you know, you mentioned the other day to somebody, I don't know if it was on the broadcast, but when you start off reading Proverbs, and like you said, you read the first couple of chapters over and over. But when you get into Proverbs, it teaches you to walk in the Word of God every day, daily, because those are the principles. I mean, he left so many principles there. I know this is Man of the Movement, but I take a lot from there, too, because I know you speak to women, too. Amen?
Well, we just give it a title,
Amen.
But this is for everybody. Every
yes,
night is for everybody. Yes, Lord.
For
yes,
everybody.
Lord.
Yes, and I say glory be to God because I took a word from it, too. Through his word, and you know I go to his word to get my confirmation too, I tell you, because I know he's telling, revealing something to me also. God bless you all. Love you all, family.
Love you too.
Amen. Love you, sir.
Minister Charlene, you are live on Man Up the Movement with Pastor Dwayne.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Dwayne, Pastor E. You said a mouthful. All I got to say is when you talked about the fruit, that was the bottom line.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the ABCs of, you know what I'm saying? Are you walking with Christ? Or are you just trying to just, you know, like you said, we're not Jesus Christ, but for Christ to live inside of us, some of his
gotta
fruit should be made
manifest.
We got to be Christ-like. And Jesus Christ was humble, but he walked in kingdom authority. He was God in the flesh, so he had the authority to cast out devils. He had the discernment to call things what they were, you know, and John the Baptist too, you know, he called them Pharisees and Sadducees out on the cards of the spirit that, you know, they had a self-righteous, a haughty, you know, proud spirit. And you know, I know you weren't pointing the fingers, but it's just a rude awakening because when you see that kind of stuff, unfortunately I was exposed to that and I thought I had to have some type of a, you know, about myself. But that's not what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have courage. But it kind of shifted to where it seemed like, you know, not like you own something, but like, you know, this is where I'm supposed to, I guess, behave or have some type of way about myself. But no, when I started reading more about the Word, and it's like people can say, you know, they read the Bible from Genesis, Revelation, all that. But, you know, am I changing on the inside or do I just have knowledge? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that fruit is saying something, because people can know the Bible, like you said, have those titles and everything, and be meaner than a junkyard dog. I mean, I ain't talking about nobody. Can I tell you this? Not to cut you off. I had a little edge about myself, and I think what it was, I think I was guarding myself from, you know, people trying to make me feel like I wasn't measuring up to their expectations and stuff. And I had to check myself and say, am I living for, you know, myself to, you know, attain something? Am I living up to expectations of people looking down on me? I got to come up. Or am I trying to receive being transformed and converted? And when I started thinking about that, I'm sitting in my seat judging folk and looking at them like they being all uppity. But I had to check myself and say, Lord, you know, that I got infected by that stuff. And I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, take this ugly junk out of me because I don't really want to have the vibe of it. You know,
come on.
Somebody can walk by me and they say, oh, she got a little stank. You know, I don't want to have a stank attitude. I don't want to have a pious, pompous, you know, demeanor about myself. And seriously, because Jesus, he was meek and lowly in heart, you know, and came in a manger. I mean, come on now. He said he could call legions of angels down, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Come on.
To defend him. He said, Peter, you don't got to take this sword out. You know, there's legions of angels now.
My God.
So he wasn't showing forth
it.
Wrath or rage or retaliation or vindictiveness. Jesus was showing that he had strength and power, and he also knew what he had as far as his reinforcements of heavenly hosts. But he came preaching the kingdom of heaven, which was the love of compassion. Compassion.
That's it. My God. That's it. Because that's what he was showing his brothers. He was showing the apostles that was following him. He was showing them love. All the mistakes, people don't get it. They don't read it. No, because everything ain't written in the Bible, but they was making mistakes because they're human. But he never once turned around and disowned it, even though they made the little mistakes. But the love of God will cover all multitudes of faults. So God covered them with love. That's why he didn't look at their faults. They weren't perfect. They were striving for perfection. They still didn't get it right when they was with him. Even though when he was risen, when he died on Calvary, they still didn't get it right. But God still showed love.
But
he
God.
Didn't show, he, God didn't show, no, but God, God didn't try to bamboo them. God wasn't trying to help rend them. God wasn't trying to take nothing from them. God was showing them love. He said if you will humble yourself, they will follow. They won't follow you. They'll follow the Creator. Why? Because the Creator had to love me enough to get me to a point to where I'm at. And that's what the church got to go back to. The church got to go back to letting God be first. Let the Creator be first. Because like you said, God could have did all kind of stuff, but yet he showed humility. He showed humble. He showed love. You know, he didn't act like none. He didn't act like none of the church folks.
I'm telling you, and they was in the crowd talking about crucify Jesus. Now, what kind of shenanigans was that? I mean, you know.
Oh, there go my word. Wait a minute. See, that's what we've been talking about tonight. Is we need to get rid of the shenanigans in the body of Christ.
Yes. Please.
Stop trying to fool folks. Stop trying to bamboozle folks. Stop trying to give your shenanigans to somebody else. And let's keep this thing real. That's one thing I know. I don't care if it's one listener or 1,000. We are going to preach. It's time for you to get yourself right with God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody to do the right thing. Without a spirit of judgment. See, because God is not slack in his promises. Oh, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Read that chapter and find it yourself. But God is not slack to his promises.
Nope.
Some of us count it slackness. Oh, you ain't good enough. You'll never make it. You're going to make it. But I'm going to tell you the truth so you can make it now. I'm tired of letting people go to the end and, like me. Let me give you for instance. I was on my deathbed.
Jeez.
I had killed my flesh. I did so many wrong things, so many uncontaminated things that I had ruined myself. I was on my deathbed and God came. Oh, he showed up. He said, you got one more. I'm going to pull you out of here. He said, I'm going to pull you out of here, and I'm going to make you new. But if I ever recognize you trying to turn back, it's over. That was the day that changed my life.
My God.
That I couldn't slip up. I can't play God. I can't trick God. I can trick you.
Right.
I can say the right things you want to hear. But we have to get to the understanding that it's about pleasing God.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off the way because I think we have a couple more callers. I haven't looked yet, but let me check. But let me tell you this. When you start pleasing God, man will not like you. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. When you please God, man will always frown at you.
Wow.
Every time you say yes to God, man going to say, no. You said wait. You said pray about it. You said seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I said get in this car, let's go do this, and let's go. The world is always going to turn your back on you when you do the thing God tells you to do.
Man, come on. Come on.
I don't care if it's your wife. I don't care who it is. If they're not in agreement with God, they will be upset with what you do when you please God.
That's it. That's it. Because that's the Bible. The Bible says that they will persecute you for his name's sake.
Man,
come on. When you start lifting up and falling behind him, he tells you that. He said that you will be persecuted. He didn't lie to you. He was keeping it 100. But he said, I got you, though. I got you, though. No weapon formed against you going to prosper. They can say whatever they want to say. They can every tongue to rise up against you, that God said he would put up a standard. So let them come against you. But baby, this fight is not yours. This battle is not yours. This battle belongs to the Lord. All you got to do is surrender. Say, Lord, I surrender. You take all this burden. That's why he said, come to me if you got a heavy burden. I will take that load. So don't worry about the haters. I got them. I got them. I got them. You are my beloved. I love you so much that I laid down my life for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm going to knock them out. Ain't nobody going to beat this. The Bible says, we said it in so many ways. God, your arms, God's arms too long, too big to be trying to box with him. It's all
man,
for me.
Hey, Pastor Dwayne, he told me that this is just what he told me. Now, this may not work for you. So don't do what Pastor E does, because what God tells Pastor E to do is for Pastor E. But he told me to start inviting them in. I used to be like, let the haters go. Let them say what they're going to do. He said, no. Go to another level. Invite them in. Make sure the invitation to every broadcast go to the haters before it go to the followers.
Wow.
Come on.
Because he said, if you don't invite him in, how could he make a table for you?
If you don't invite him in, how could he make a table? He said he will make a table for your enemy. So how can you don't invite him in? How can the table can't be formed? The table got to be formed. You got to bring them in. And once you bring them in, then God will do the separation. God will make that table. That's what that scripture is. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's going to make a table for my enemies. And all. No, bring the haters in. Because they're not hating on you. They're hating on him.
They're hating on Christ. That's what it is. But when you invite them in, remember this. If you're looking for some supernatural way to fix it, no, when you bring them in, this is what you do. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. See, a lot of us is trying to make our own sound and our own noise, and we think people are supposed to fill up the church and fill up the seats. I dare somebody this weekend in your ministry that if you, watch this, if you exalt him,
my God,
he'll bring all the people you need to be there. The people he want to be, like on this broadcast tonight. We got a lot of callers tonight and doing really good for Man Up. But all we got to do is lift him up. I send out messages and I send out invitations. But my number one thing is before I even send out the invitations, I pray and say, Lord, you be lifted up. So when I push in, you draw the men in. You draw them here. So I know they ain't coming to try to please me or make me feel like I was on there tonight. I listened. No. This is about Jesus and nobody else.
Amen. My God. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Y'all trying to start something up this way. Minister Charlene, God bless you, woman of God. We just thank you and your fire. You start us off, whether you know this or not, I want to just give accolades to that. On that first weekend, you start this broadcast off because I don't know if you listen or not. It kind of follows the suit. Ooh. That first week of the Now Network, Let's Talk Jesus, Man Up, Women Speak Now, every biweekly, Let's Talk About It, Real Talk with Pastor E. All those broadcasts lead us into the rest of the month. But don't you know you're the first one? And you bless us every month to get us started. And you see how it grows. Somebody ought to testify on how it grows. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless
Amen.
You, my
sister. Amen. Yes, my sister. Yes, women up too. Area code 913, last four, 2041. You're live on Real Talk. Man Up, the movement with Pastor Dwayne.
Good afternoon,
what's,
Pastor.
What's up, Apostle?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I've been sitting here listening, and this is a fire word. It's a reality here. It's a reality here. I see, even I agree with the pastor that's bringing the word chase, or how about this, how a lot of false prophets, a lot of people are the false of chase the sick away from the church. The Lord says, I came for those that afflicted. I didn't come for those who say they all right. They feel with the whole. I didn't come for them. I came for the afflicted, the drunk,
yes,
and their addictions. I came for those that are afflicted. I give you power to cast down the demons, and those that are bound in chains. Those are the ones that came for. Jesus says, when he was speaking about, I think it was Nathaniel, he said, look, there's a real Israelite with no job, no foolishness. This brother is dead, so he's not about joking around when he comes down playing with, talking about the word of God. This man is not a joke. Jesus didn't joke around, play around. He was dead serious. He didn't care about hurting the Pharisees' feelings. Anybody who was self-righteous, he didn't care about these feelings. Any man that exalted himself to be more than he ought to be, consider himself to be nothing. That should hurt their feelings.
Come on. My God.
When it comes down, what separate us is the right and divided word. That's the dialect of Christ. You can speak a good talk, but can you lift that one out of the wheelchair? That's power. And then they want to know, well, he smoked cigarettes. Why he do that? Because I judge not. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged according to the flesh. But if you judge, judge this judgment. And that's the judgment according to the Spirit. For we walk after the Spirit, not by sight. I walk from the inside out, not from the outside in. I wish man would judge me. For you already been judged. But how can you point out something of my fault, my flaws? If I wasn't sick, then I wouldn't need Christ. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be sustained. Even in my affliction, he raises me up out of my own afflictions. So when we talk about pointing the finger, judging this, judging that, do I judge? I judge those things according to the Spirit. Whether you're a false prophet, false apostle, you're a demon, diabolical, whatever you claim to be, if God showed me this is what it is, that's the judgment that I judge.
According to the
revelation of those things that are revealed, not the things
the word,
that I assume.
And in the word of God. But you know, you
in
sparked
the
something right there, because I learned something, is that I do this. I judge myself. I have the ability to judge myself on doing the right thing and holding myself accountable to the word of God. See, I don't need somebody else to judge me. I'm already judging myself because I'm no good. I'll miss the mark, but God that lives in me. See, Paul said it. He said, no longer the I who live, but the Christ who lives in me. See, I'm not the same person I used to be because I've let that self die. And I learned to judge myself and say, you know what? You were wrong then, but will God forgive you? This is going to help somebody tonight. Forgive yourself. Let yourself off
forgive
the hook.
Yourself.
Forgive
Amen.
Yourself.
Amen.
Let yourself off the hook, because when God let it go, you got to let it go too.
If God forgave me, then if God forgave me, surely I rejoice because I have forgiven even myself.
Hey.
Then I pray for those who try to condemn me. How are you going to go to the graveyard and dig up something God buried? He says, do not resurrect the sins that I have, what? Cast into the sea of forgiveness. So don't let no man persuade you otherwise, the Lord says. If I have touched you and made you clean, let no man call you common in the name of Jesus. So what man can judge he that God has deemed to be clean in the name of Jesus? Are you talking about this flesh? It can never be righteous. Or are you judging the spirit that operates through this flesh? In the name of Jesus. So make sure when you judge with in what he said, rightly dividing the judgment. He says a balanced scale, not an unbalanced scale. That's abomination of God. But a balanced scale that is righteous before God. So when we speak, make sure our speech is balanced. That's righteous before God. Not an unbalanced speech that is abomination of God. But make sure we judge rightly and divided. That's inside
that's right.
out from the spirit.
That's right.
Not the. I ain't judging you about the car. I'm talking about the one that's driving the car. Understand?
Well,
the car ain't going to jail. It's the driver that's locating it. Come on,
I'm
with
you. I'm gonna tell you this. I ain't judging nobody. I got enough dealing with me in the mirror myself.
Amen. Amen.
I want to put some of this, Apostle, as you were saying. You know, now you said a key thing that I like the key thing that you said. But notice though that we are the body of Christ that He said the saints are going to judge the world. So as we are spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ, one thing we got to understand: if God has died and He we've risen with Him, the things of the world or the things of the flesh died with Him. Now, I'm not judging you. If you said that God crucified the whoremongering in you, if God crucified the alcohol in you, if God crucified the cussing and the fussing and the sussing and the dusting in you, then that means that you shouldn't have those characteristics. Now, if you got those characteristics in you, then something's not right. He said, how could two walk together unless they agree? If you still thinking and diving and jiving, then it's up to me to restore my brother back into righteousness. Because if you
Amen.
God has
Amen.
Been burning you, then you can't show the fruits of the devil. So if you're showing the fruits of the devil, then God didn't crucify that. So it's my duty as a saint, it's my duty as the ambassador, or it's my duty as the living word to correct my brother. Because, see, now you
Amen.
Make it a law of God. So we're not here to law of God, we're here to exalt God. So the Bible teaches us that if our brothers has fallen out of grace, it's for us to go back to restore him. And so if he's fallen out of grace, that means that the spirit man let the other thing creep up inside. So we have to give him the word. We're not judging him. We're giving him the word. We tell him that's not scripture. That's our job. That's how we confine. He said confine the world. Go out
look,
to the
look, look,
highway,
let me make it simple for all of us
to
tonight. This is cutthroat.
But what we got to do
cutthroat.
Is try to prepare them to come in to where if we're going to live, let's walk the same. We got to drink the same water. If I like Kool-Aid in my water, you don't like Kool-Aid in your water, there's something wrong. So we got to have the same like-minded. And so that's what
okay.
we're trying to do. That's our goal. Our goal is to
let
get
me.
Everything back value towards Christ. We need to get things back towards Christ because the Bible talks about fornicators, adulterers, murderers. But Paul says such as us. But we've been washed. By the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart. So we set apart and sanctified and set apart. Then the characteristics of those things should not be in us. Now, if they're in you, I got to come to you as a true brother in Christ. Hey, my brother, we're slipping somehow. Somehow that we're slipping. We need to restore ourselves back. That's my job.
And I think the major word here. Wait. Hold on. I think the major word is judgment. There's no judgment. There is no condemnation, but there is accountability. Now, I think the line that's being drawn here is that the world that has not made it, there is no judgment. There is no condemnation. There is saying, come to Christ, he'll make your life clean. But when you have come over and you at the service every Sunday and you come, you at Bible study and you on the network and you have made yourself accountable to a certain ministry, you now must be I hate to say this word, but you must be disciplined. And the first place I got disciplined was with Christ. So it didn't make me judge people. See, it didn't make me judge anybody. It made me hold myself accountable to a standard where now it's not my will, but the will of God. And guess what? Mm. When the will of God is evident, there is no discord. There is no envy. There is no hate. There is no backbiting. It is pure love. But for us,
well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. That's when we come into the acknowledgement of the works of the Holy Ghost. See, I understand you have to have the relationship with the Holy Ghost to know the works of the Holy Spirit, just like you have the works of Christ to know the works of Christ, as you know the works of the Father to have the works of the Father in the individual capacity and also as one. That is the one. Now, when we do the thing, like I myself, I could sit here. I'm real quick to confess my sins. real quick. If I do something, I'm real quick to confess it. Why? Because I won't allow that stain and blemish to hold on to me. I don't care what it might be done. I don't care what I might have done. I'm going to quickly confess it because the spirit in me that's making me not even enjoy the sin that I have committed or committing is not going to let me enjoy it. If Paul says, I hear there's fornication among you saints. That's what he said. He
that's
said,
right.
I hear there's fornication among
you.
He said,
know.
I'm not coming to convict. I'm not
coming to condemn you, and
but I'm coming to correct you.
But look, we ain't talking about Paul. We talking about me.
Let's not talk about
John. We talking about you. We not talking about Peter. We talking about Pastor Dwayne. What we're saying is that as men of God, I'm so glad we got a man discussion tonight. And I hope you ladies, we dropped a couple of callers. Look, we dropped a couple of callers because they be like, oh, they finna go at it. No, no, we are going to make this thing real because as men of God, we're held to an accountability from God that now those that are connected to us know that type of responsibility.
Mm.
And it comes with a heart. Watch this. It comes with a heart for Christ. Not your
Amen.
Own heart, not your own mind, not your own wills. It comes from a heart of Christ. Now, I like that we made that distinction between condemnation and judgment into accountability. Because we must be accountable as men. We lost a lot of ground. We've given up a lot of space. We've given up a lot of authority. But if we become accountable, not to man, but accountable to God, and that means you are accountable to yourself. You know who's my pastor? Jesus. But I'm Jesus' right-hand man because I'm every morning preaching to me in the, every all day during the day. Stuff comes up. I'm the one that's checking me. Instead of letting it happen, and Pastor Dwayne calling me and say, you know, that wasn't godly. Or Apostle Anthony calling me and say, oh, Pastor, wait a minute, hold up, bro. You know, I love you, man. But see, that's what we got to get to the point where no one can call us. No one can judge us. No one can even dispute us because we've already done it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I want to end it at that. We've kind of explored over our hour time. This has been great. I want to invite both of you back next week. Let's really pray on this thing because this conversation needs to go higher about accountability and about respect, about love, and about brotherhood. That's what Man Up is all about. I'm going to blow this thing up this week. We're going to make a new flyer. I want Pastor Dwayne. I want Apostle Anthony. I'm going to get James. I'm going to get all our covenant brothers to get on here next weekend because we need to spark this conversation and go to another level on how we come in agreement. That's the biggest thing is that we agree. The
Amen.
One accord mode is that no matter my thought, your thought, we got our own ideas, thoughts, and plans. But whose purpose are we following? When we follow God's purpose, we can agree. So we're going to continue this next Tuesday night. We're going to work on it throughout the week. I'm going to call both of you brothers and get your input. I'm going to connect you guys on Facebook, which I think I've already done that. And let's collab on this thing to really blow it up next Tuesday. Man Up the Movement, the fourth week of the month. And we're going to do, if you guys allow, we're going to do 2 weeks in a row. Next week, because there's five Tuesdays in this month, we're going to do 2 weeks in a row, the next two Tuesdays, about accountability as a man of God. I want to invite you guys
Amen.
To come back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I got some agreement Praise going on.
For the people.
It's going to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Amen. 6 p.m.
Amen.
Pacific. 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern, Man Up the Movement, next Tuesday with the three of us and many more. Man, God bless you, Apostle Anthony. Man, you sparked it up. I got a little sweat on my brow. See, when I get to talking about that word, I get fired up. Well, I mean, oh, let's go. But you know what? We're gonna bring it back next Tuesday. I love it. I love this. And we're gonna definitely continue next week and go there. I want to give you an opportunity, Apostle Anthony, to any closing remarks before I turn it back over to our host for this evening. Any closing remarks, any ministry things you have going on in your region, something you need us to pray for as covenant brothers, as a covenant ministry, as covenant family, we would like to hear that right now. Or your contact information, if anybody out there said, I like the way that brother said it, how can I get in contact with him?
Well, first of all, I got a book getting ready to be published. My wife actually came up with the name, and when she brought it, it got me revelation. It's called See As I See, The Eyes of a Prophet. And we're hoping that'll be out in the next 4 or 5 months. Apostle, I just got my number changed. It's the 913 number, and I don't even know it by heart. So if you could throw it over the radio, you can. But I'm from
Area
Mobile,
code,
Alabama.
913-290-2041. Again, area code 913-290-2041.
Thank you, Pastor. This has been beautiful, and I'm looking forward for the next two Tuesdays because it's about feeding his lamb and feeding his sheep. The time and season is to feed, and that's what the Lord has put upon us to do, as we have done tonight. Special Pastor Dwayne, Lord, that's a fire word. And your network, that's the horn. That's the mountain right there. And we're going to blow out of the horn of the unicorn that the world may hear the word of God manifest itself in Revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, brother. We love you, man. Pastor Dwayne, close remarks.
Just know that God is able do all things. That's nothing too hard for God. All you got to do is trust in him, believe in him. If you believe in him, just trust in him. He said he can do all things. He says nothing too hard for him. We make it hard. But the word said it's nothing too hard for the Creator. If he brought, if he made the heavens and the stars, and all, if you look in the heaven, or if you look in the sky and you see all those stars, and he threw them up there, and he know all of them by name, he know your name. He know your situation. He know the things that you're going through. But all you got to do is just trust in him and say, Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. That's what kind of God he do it. And I guarantee you can say, won't he do it? Y'all be blessed. Pray for my wife. She started her a jewelry line. I know I'm going to pop it up there on Facebook. We'll be able to network together with Pastor E. So we'll be able to have it on the network, a flyer. And so I just want you guys to pray for us. Pray that God give us a we're looking for a building. I'm going to put it out there because we got to do some stuff with this network. We're trying to put on a revival. So. And we want to keep doing a revival. We just don't want to do it once. We want to do it continually. So pray that God would open up the hearts of the peoples in Madison, Wisconsin, that he can give us a building that we will have favor. So when the favor of God, we can go in there and we can just do all kingdom work for God. Not for ourselves, but for God. So when we want to invite peoples down to do revivals and a conference and things of that nature, that they blessed. They blessed. And the peoples that receive them be blessed. So that's our goal, and that's why our mindset at this season and this year, that's where we at. If I'm not friends with Apostle, a prophet,
Anthony
Pastor
Walker,
do hook us up.
Yes, yes.
Anthony
Apostle
Walker,
Anthony Walker. Anthony Walker.
So
definitely connect. We are going to make this thing happen. And we're coming to Madison. I don't need a building. Get a corner.
Yes, sir.
Get me one in $49 tents from Walmart. Make sure
got
I got a mic and stuff
already
to sing on and preach on, and we're going to make noise
we
in
got
Madison.
All that
see, we're ready.
We got
ready.
All
so
that
and we're going to be partnering with Pastor Valores up in what part of Wisconsin is she from?
Milwaukee.
We're going to be trying to make that all happen. If you're up in that northern area and you would like to connect with us on this fivefold no limit conference, we'll come to your city too. Just get in touch with us. But we want to make this thing happen. We coming to Madison, whether it's a 1 day, 3 hour, whatever it is, God said, we coming. But we want to make this where we can continue to grow this and go come to your city, come to your town, and let's grow this thing. The I Am Fivefold No Limit Conference coming to you when you're ready. When? Now. I want to also invite everybody tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., wake up, get up, and move in your purpose with myself, Pastor E, on Facebook Live, Periscope, and YouTube. That will be tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we want to throw this out there. It is not too late to donate. We are having a backpack, uniform, school supply, shoes, socks, snacks. I know you need it in your city, too. Let's do it in your city, but we're already having one this Saturday, July 21st. This is a collaboration with Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, myself, P2P Ministry, Two Crunk for Jesus, and the Jesus Boys, Pastor Purpose, Swag. All we're coming together. We got many people that are going to show up. I believe in Mark Allen Felton is going to come out there and blow his horn. for some kid and going to say, I want to do the same thing. We're looking for a major move of God, but we need your help. It's not too late. $5 is enough. You say, all I got is it. $5 is enough. $10 is enough. $20 is enough. $100 is enough. $1,000 is enough. We have a goal on Facebook for $1,500. We've had one donation, but we've had several donations offline. So I wanted to make that announcement that at the total right now, we are at $225 according to the $20 donation on Facebook and the stuff that's been sent to me at P2B Ministries, that we're going to make it. We're going to have 100 backpacks full of everything. But we want to get some more uniforms for the kids. We want to get some more shoes for the kids. We want to make a lasting impact on them because we're going to be preaching the word to them. We're going to be singing the word to them. Two Crunk and Pastor Purpose going to be on the mic rapping the word to them. And you can come out if you don't have anything to do that day, and you can share the love of God with them also. That is Lauren Miller Park, Saturday, July 21st. 2717 South Halldale Avenue, Los Angeles, California, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. The live entertainment is by myself. I'll be emceeing and doing a couple of songs, and I'm definitely going to bring the word. And then Two Crunk for Jesus and Pastor Purpose are going to definitely be ministering also. And you can come along too. Just get there early. Let me know you want to minister. We'll get you on the agenda, and you can let the Lord use you. But we do still need your help. Backpacks. Don't have to send no money. Go buy it. But if you are not here and you cannot do it and you don't have the time to get it, please send that money to us through our donation page on Facebook or through Provoke to Purpose Ministries at p2pministriesnow.com. Family, I want you to know, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. This is not by mistake that we're sitting here together and that we're anointing God and lifting God up together because we're called according to his purpose. We're going to close this broadcast as we opened it. We're going to end this broadcast as we opened it, excuse me, to let you know that you're blessed. I love this song. I'm so proud of Charlie Wilson and T.I. I pray for them. I intercede for them every day because when you can come up with an encouraging song, an encouraging word, the enemy is coming after you. We need to stand in the gap for those that are willing to stand up, shout out, and praise Jesus.
I knew God was with me. I was just praying. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God, every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly, by my side, green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams, just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise, what's in the water got you acting like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed, yes.
I'm blessed.
Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing. I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Playing cards, laughing hard, barbecuing, waking up the whole block. Music loud, turning out. Little kids are breaking out the bus stop. Life is good. Really good, and every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes, living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
all around, try to tear us all down, but I gotta thank God for every day above ground. Know the devil working day and night, but I look him in the eyes and you a damn lie. And I know I could've died in the nighttime. I'm still around because I hear word, not because I'm like him. And I'm up on the doing time, got a message for you. Might be stressing now, but there's a blessing coming. And when it do through all the party and the nonsense, just take some time to thank God for what he done. When the partner you run with come with them negative comments trying to get you to do something, you better not follow them, damn it, I swear, I declare, throw my power in prayer. You had no idea.